Friday again. That means it's time for another episode of Talk Central. My name is Duncan MacLeod. This is the Talk Central podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. Episode 8. I'm here in the studio with Candace. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan. Good week this week.
Yeah, another week full of news. Mama Dupi Mutlala has got her job back.
It appears so. Looks like yesterday her and General Nyanda, the communications minister, signed a settlement that basically reinstates her. The statement says that he will pull his letter of termination to her, which reinstates her into the ministry.
But the minister, from the statement that his spokesman Tiani Rokotso put out yesterday, doesn't sound very pleased with the whole situation.
Well, there are several conditions attached to the settlement, which will likely find her in a different position in government somewhere else. Basically, she's agreed to take 30 days leave, a month's leave, and in that time, the DPSA minister, Public Services and Administration Minister, Richard Baloyi, will find her an alternative position within government. So basically, she was only reinstated because Baloyi couldn't find her a position while she wasn't a civil servant. Now she's been reinstated, she is now a civil servant, and he can find her a new job.
But if he can't find her a new job, then she will be reinstated as the Communications Department Director General within 30 days.
Yes, this time next month, if no job has been found, she will be DG.
Well, that'll certainly make an interesting situation if she's reinstalled at the DOC with Nyanda there. It's going to be, I mean, I doubt the two are even talking to each other, so it'd certainly be an interesting situation if the two of them are asked to try to run that department together.
Well, it will be interesting, but when we interviewed her when this whole thing started at the end of July, she did say that she believes that the relationship is salvageable. Although after all of this legal action and, you know, she's been quite heavily featured in the news, I'm not so sure that that relationship will be fixable.
Looking at Nyanda's statement yesterday, it doesn't sound like he isn't keen at all on working with her into the future.
I don't think so. But the question now is, if she does move out, who will the next DG be?
Indeed, important question, I guess. My guess would be someone external rather than the acting DG or someone else in the department.
I agree with that, but who it will be remains to be seen.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's move away from the politics. Neotel, what used to be called the second network operator or second national operator, was held a press conference this week on the occasion of their fourth birthday. Well, in fact, it was the fourth anniversary of their changing their branding from the SNO company to Neotel. And Ajay Pandey, the MD and CEO, as well as Srinath, with the unpronounceable surname, the CEO of Tata Communications, were on hand at the Grace Hotel in Rosebank this week for a press conference to talk about how the company is performing. And it was really interesting, and I think in light of the column that you wrote on Tech Central 2 weeks ago, in which, Candace, in which you went into some detail of how the company is really not doing too well on the retail consumer side of the market, the executives came out at this press conference and admitted that they are kind of cooling their approach to the consumer market, where they've only signed up less than 50,000 subscribers, which I think I think both Neotel and the market generally are quite disappointed in. I see some headlines this week suggesting that they've almost given up on the consumer market, which isn't true. They're still going to continue to service that market, but they've made it very clear that that's not their primary target. And in fact, they've said that their ideal revenue mix would be 60% from the corporate market, 30% from the wholesale market. In other words, selling connectivity to other telecommunications operators, and then just 10% of their revenue from the consumer side. So I think they've decided that trying to take on telecom and the big mobile operators at their own game with limited resources is a fool's game.
Well, it is a fool's game, and fair enough. And really, the corporate market is the low-hanging fruit, but Neotel could never turn away from the consumer because that's part of their license. It's part of their mandate. Which is a pity because as a consumer myself, looking for desperate competition in the market, specifically the consumer market, you know, it makes me disappointed that Neotel has decided not to go ahead with it.
Yeah, but I guess when you're coming up against these very well-resourced mobile operators in particular, it's a difficult space to get into. And I mean, I think we've discussed this on this podcast before. Perhaps they did make a mistake in choosing the CDMA platform rather than going for a mobile technology or even investing perhaps in fixed lines. obviously fixed lines is a very expensive route to go, but the CDMA technology, they're the only CDMA operator in the market, and perhaps that has hobbled them to some extent as well.
I agree, but I don't think that they ever had the intention of aggressively targeting the consumer. When they started, the first product was a corporate product. The consumer products that did come out later are few and not exactly competitive. So
they've never seemed geared up to be a consumer facing organization, have they? I mean, they're apparently, and we don't know because they don't publish their numbers, but they're apparently doing all right in the corporate space and the wholesale market. But you know, listening to people to friends who've signed up for Neotel's consumer products, and just reading comments on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere from people who use Neotel, they don't seem to be geared up to servicing that market. And it's a difficult thing to do because you need large call centers, you need the retail channels, you need a whole set of things which the mobile operators already do very well.
It's very true, and it is a pity. It is a big market, it's a hard market, and it's a tough space, specifically with the deep pockets of the mobiles, and it's hard to compete there.
Mm.
So I agree, they've never been geared.
Mm.
Their service provision for the consumer has never been on par with the mobiles, and it's unfortunate, but that's the way of the game.
Mm. Yeah, one interesting thing that came out of my interview with Ajay Pandey after the presentation was that they are in fact EBITDA positive, EBITDA being a kind of a measure of operating profit, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization. They're EBITDA positive on a monthly basis at the moment, and Ajay says they're on track to becoming profitable before tax and profitable after tax, and that the business plan is running according to plan. So from that perspective, at least, it's looking good. But I do wonder, Candice, if we're going to see some consolidation in the telecommunications market over the next couple of years, because you've got a number of smaller players in this space. You've got Cell C, you've got Neotel, and you've got quite a number of rats and mice players in the space. And I do wonder if that we're going to see some sort of merger or acquisition M&A activity taking place in the next 2 or 3 years. As these companies try to be more effective in competing with the really big incumbent operators like Vodacom, MTN, and Telkom.
Well, you've already seen them last week, the Huge Group announcement to shareholders, Huge being listed on the alternative exchange. They put out an announcement saying that they're in discussions with someone. I spoke to James from the company.
James
Herbst from the company, and he's currently in Mauritius, so he gave me a call from there, and we chatted about what the possibility was. He wouldn't reveal very much, but he says, look, there is going to be consolidation in this market. You will see it more, and we've decided instead of being a rat to be stomped on, we would like to be involved in the procedure. So that's where they're at. When I asked him whether it was a sell or a buy, he said, look, think of it as a consolidation. I can't say more than that. And so there we go. It's already starting.
Yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see what Huge Group is up to. I know analysts have quite strong views on this company and they're not generally positive. So let's see what James comes up with.
Indeed. He made a quite an interesting comment to me that, you know, I must look at the share price. The share price is really strong. And it's true. In the last 90 days, the share price has shot up 158%.
Good grief.
Which is quite a shockingly high figure to have. But we'll see what comes out of it.
I mean, this company's most direct competitor in the market seems to be Vox Telecom, and Vox Telecom share price is languishing at around 30 cents, yet Huge Telecom share prices leapt higher in leaps and bounds for no apparent reason from what I can see, apart from the fact that the company's doing a share buyback.
Well, as you know, over the last 6 to 8 months, the directors have been involved in the share buyback, but the shares that I've seen bought by directors have not been the major shareholders, major directors.
Mm, that's right. The directors are also buying back shares in addition to the company buyback. So that, I mean, that certainly could explain it, but
it looks like that's what's driving the price, but I can't be sure.
But Candice, I mean, we both speak to analysts, and a lot of them have actually stopped following this company because they just have concerns about it. And you know, you speak to guys who have looked at this company in the past and have expressed a great deal of concern about Huge Group and where it's going. And we know, and as you know, the directors have gotten themselves into quite a lot of trouble in the past with the JSE for various activities.
Sure.
But anyway, let's move on. MTN, quite exciting for news for MTN South Africa this week, is that the news that they're finally getting the iPhone. Vodacom, of course, has had exclusivity of the Apple iPhone in South Africa for the past 2 years, and MTN has been really champing at the bit to get to get access to the iPhone. I know that Carl Pienaar, the MD of MTN South Africa, visited Apple in San Francisco a few months ago, and obviously it was at that point that they managed to secure this distribution agreement. But so the iPhone 4 will go on sale on the MTN network within the next couple of weeks. Candice, do you think it's going to have a big impact for them?
I think it's a good move for them. Whether or not people will move from Vodacom to MTN because of the fact that it now has the iPhone, and a lot of people are on packages to get a specific phone. Whether people will move remains to be seen. If you head off to our Facebook page, you could answer that question for us, where I've started a discussion on our page asking whether or not you would move.
Indeed. Well, I know for a fact, Candice, that a lot of MTN subscribers, I personally know of at least three or four, who moved from MTN to Vodacom simply to get access to the iPhone. So it'll be interesting to see if they decide to move back, especially in light of the fact that MTN has invested billions of rand over the last couple of years in its 3G network, and apparently the performance of its network right now is very good. So they may be able to claw back some lost market share.
I'm sure they will. I've been using MTN's network for data for quite some time, and in comparison to Vodacom, it is very strong. But we'll see what happens. I think that people will move if they want to, and I think the competition really is hotting up, and these kinds of moves, these kinds of deals are game changers.
Just you mentioned the Facebook page, Candice, just maybe spend a few seconds talking about that. You're actually busy with the whole redesign of Tech Central's Facebook page. If you're interested in seeing it, we'll have a short URL to it soon. But for the moment, go to Facebook and just search on Tech Central and it should come up. Candice, tell us a little bit about what you're planning with the site.
Well, for the time being, I'm looking at putting in a fun landing page that's just for those people who haven't liked the page yet. And I'll be actively playing around in it to give our Facebook readers a little bit more access to the news that we put onto techcentral.co.za. And hopefully we'll start high-tech discussions, and we've already got a couple of really high-profile readers. So come through there, see who they are, and maybe you can engage with these guys. It will be fun. It will be interesting, and it will be exceptionally informing.
Great. Well, keep an eye on that. Tech Central on Facebook. If you've got any feedback, you're welcome to mail Candice directly at candice@techcentral.co.za and tell her what you'd like to see on that page. Just a reminder as well that you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is TechCentral, and you can also follow Candice or myself directly. Candice is Candice Jones, at Candice Jones on Twitter, and I am at McLeodD. That's McLeod. Staying on cellular this week, saw some interesting news coming out of China. The fact that China Development Bank is apparently going to be loaning Cell C an amount of 2.2 billion rands. It was a euro amount, I think 140 million euros, if I remember correctly. 145 million euros, in fact. So Cell C, it looks like Cell C has been successful in raising that additional funding it needs, at least partially, to fund the rollout of its new third generation mobile network.
Well, I think that's an exceptional move by the CEO, Lars Reichelt. I think he's pushing to have this network done as soon as possible, and the more financing he can get for it, the quicker that he can get it, the sooner he can get that network out.
Yeah, he's currently traveling in China as part of President Jacob Zuma's delegation, trade delegation, to that country at the moment. So he should be back next week, and we're hoping to have a conversation with him about that loan, that the loan that they have raised from the Chinese bank, and perhaps also get an update from him on the rollout of their third generation mobile network, which should be switching on in the first region in the next short while, possibly even in the coming weeks. So that's going to be a one to watch very closely.
They haven't let on how they're rolling this out, other than that it's staged. If I remember correctly, we don't know where the first area to be switched on will be.
They haven't announced that yet at all, no. But they have said that they're going to do it on a region-by-region basis. But it is meant to be launched around about now. So I would be surprised, in fact, if we don't see some news from Cell C on that front in the coming week.
Well, with the whole branding exercise, I think Cell C is going to be a lot more vocal over the next couple of months anyway.
Definitely. And with MTN rolling out 3G at 900 megahertz and Vodacom rolling out fiber to 1,000 of its base stations as it prepares for the rollout of LTE and then eventually 4G based on LTE services. The cellular space is going to get very, very interesting indeed. But Candace, I think we need to take a short break there and go and pay the bills. We will be back right after this break.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing, from Vox.
Welcome back to Talk Central. Some other big news this week was the fact that Peter Nelson, the chief financial officer of Telkom, who resigned about a month ago, I think it was around a month ago, Candace, Telkom announced that he'd be leaving his job early. He was meant to leave on the 9th of October, and in fact, his last day was yesterday, the 25th of August. So, more rats off the ship. Is this a cleanup that's going on, or is this an ominous sign of things to come?
Well, I think it's about time that Telkom's chairman, Jeff Mulabela, comes out and explains exactly what's happening there. I think too many executives have gone, and he needs to say exactly why this is happening. We need some clarity on this business.
Well, I mean, the background to all of this is that Ruben September, of course, left 2 months ago now, a month and a half ago now. Peter Nelson, both Peter Nelson and Ruben September, very unhappy with the way that Jeff Mulabela was managing the board of Telkom, and the fact that he was allegedly being quite interfering in the day-to-day running of the business and making decisions which both Ruben and Peter felt should have been left in their hands, and not they felt that they were being undermined by the board of directors in key decisions around issues like Multilinks and SwiftNet and other Telkom businesses. Both Peter Nelson and Ruben September, I understand, wanted to sell off Multilinks, and this was blocked by the board under Jeff Mulabela. So there's a lot of ruction there at the moment. It's difficult to know. Certainly Jeff Mulabela has been a very active chairman. It's difficult to know whether he is being unnecessarily interventionist, because clearly there have been problems at Telkom. We've got the former CEO of Cell C, who's Jeffrey Hedberg, who's now the acting CEO of Telkom, who's given the thumbs up and said that Jeff Mulabela has his support, and he supports Jeff Mulabela. So it's difficult to know where the exact truth lies, and whether Jeff Mulabela perhaps deserves to be demonized or not over his involvement at the company and some of the things he's been doing. But I think the truth will come out in the next 6 months, and we'll have a clearer indication of whether Telkom is on the right track or not.
Regardless of whether he is in the right or the wrong, he needs to come out and explain to shareholders exactly what's happening at the company. What are the plans? Who are they interviewing in terms of a replacement CEO? He needs to make this information available to shareholders so that they are not so insecure. I mean, you were at the Telkom AGM this week, and clearly September and Nelson are not the only people unhappy with the company's performance at the moment. Did they say?
Yeah, there were one shareholder and a shareholder activist there, in fact, an investment manager from Element Investment Managers in Cape Town. Both of them expressed a great deal of concern about corporate governance, or the lack thereof at Telkom. In fact, the representative from Element Investment Managers, I forget his name offhand, made some telling remarks and expressed quite a great deal of concern about the so-called golden share in Telkom, the Class A share, which gives government a whole bunch of rights over ordinary shareholders. For example, the ability to appoint a certain number of the directors of the board of Telkom, to appoint the chairman and have a say in various other issues related to the management of the company. That golden share is due to expire on the 4th of March 2011, and there have been concerns that perhaps some of the things that Jeff Mulabela has been doing have been related to the fact that this golden share falls away in March next year. One of the questions that was raised during the AGM was whether government would want to extend the rights granted to it, those special rights granted to it in terms of the Class A share. There seems to be quite a deal of concern amongst shareholders that government is going to seek to extend those rights. And the view was expressed that this would be a very, very bad thing for corporate governance at Telkom. But the chairman did say that there's been no approach from government and no indication that government would want to extend those rights beyond the 4th of March next year. So I think let's watch the space. If the golden share falls away in March, it'll be a good thing for Telkom because it'll lessen government's involvement in the day-to-day management of the company. But, you know, who knows what Nyanda's agenda is and what he'd like to see.
And that's another question that needs to be answered as well. But it'll take a little bit more asking before it will be answered. But an interesting story you picked up this week, Duncan, that had me reaching for my handbag and checking my Garmin model.
Yes. Well, I didn't really pick it up. I mean, I saw it on Engadget, the technology blog from the US. But Garmin will be recalling 1.25 million personal navigation devices. Specifically, the models affected are the 200W, 250W, 260W, and the 7XX models, 7 Series models. I put in a call to Garmin's local distributor, Garmin Distribution Africa, and they indicated to me that they were fully on top of the situation. In fact, they've created a toll-free number, and they've asked Garmin users in South Africa who happen to have these models to go to the Garmin website. And we've put up a link in the Garmin recall story on Tech Central if you need a link to that. But basically, go there, type in the serial number of your Garmin, and if you do have one of the affected models, Garmin will then alert Garmin Distribution Africa, who will then get into contact with you. Apparently, I was speaking to Fraser McHenry of Garmin Distribution Africa yesterday. He said that so far only 9 people have been affected by the issue, so it's a small number so far. Although I suspect only a small number of Garmin users have actually typed in their details on the Garmin website so far. So. They think it's not going to be a huge issue for South African Garmin users, but certainly the issue is affecting local users. Interestingly, Garmin has warned distributors and subsidiary offices around the world not to ship the devices on airplanes when they returned because of the fire hazard. Now, none of these devices actually caught fire. It's an overheating problem related to the circuitry on the device and the battery. Which could cause a fire hazard. But I had a good chuckle when they warned on their website, do not ship these devices via aeroplanes because you could set fire to a commercial jet.
Terrorism at its best.
Yes. Anyway, so if you think you might be affected by that, either check out the Garmin website or check out the story on Tech Central, and you'll find the link through to the Garmin website there where you can type in your serial number and find out whether you need to get your device replaced. Candice, the interesting story this week related to Mthunzi Ndwaba, the well-known IT businessman and personality who was effectively removed from the board of recruitment and temps company Kelly Group. Mthunzi, of course, is the chap who founded Talk IT, a well-known industry personality. What happened there? Seems to have been a bit of a falling out with the current CEO of Kelly Group.
Well, it's all a bit of a mystery at the moment, but we were contacted yesterday by a source close to the situation who gave us a little bit more detail about the very terse SENS announcement that was financial statement that was sent to shareholders of the Kelly Group a couple of days ago. It appears that that the Kelly Group CEO, Grenville Wilson, is preparing to retire, and Mthunzi was pegged by the board as his successor. However, it appears that Mthunzi and Grenville had a little bit of a falling out, and from what I understand, it made Grenville change his mind about the succession of Mthunzi to CEO position. It's unclear why the board agreed to strip Mthunzi of his position as deputy CEO and his position on the board as an executive director. But we're still trying to get hold of them. Grenville has taken leave until the 7th of September, and the chairman of the Kelly Group is away in New York.
That's Mboso Ngoesheng, the well-known businessman, I think CEO, chairman of the Safika Group.
Yes, he is. So we shall see what comes out of it, but at the moment it's all very mysterious. It's all very hush-hush, and we'll see what happens.
I spoke to the Kelly Group CEO, Grenville Wilson, a couple of days ago, and he was very evasive. You don't often, when you phone up a CEO of a company, you don't often encounter the sort of evasiveness. He just sort of said to me, I can't comment on this, and it's up to the board. You must speak to the board. And I said, who can I speak to on the board? And he said, I said, who's the best person to speak to? And he said, no, I'm the best person to speak to, but I'm not going to talk to you. So very evasive, very strange behavior. So certainly the speculation that there's been a falling out and a power struggle between Grenville and Mthunzi makes sense in light of the way he was reacting to me on the telephone.
Well, the source brought to us a couple of documents to prove the case, and which is why we looked at it with more with a serious eye. One of the documents was a 16-page email that Mthunzi sent to Grenville, explaining his frustration at being left out of key decisions when key appointments when he should be learning the ropes. He was expected to take over on the 1st of October, from what we understand, and the discussions around his succession started as far back as March. So he should really have been involved in these things, and this email basically complains to Grenville that he's being cut off and left out.
Interesting. It's a pity Grenville's gone on holiday, because we'd love to hear more of his side of the story. But it certainly sounds like a classical power struggle between top executives.
It does, and with any luck, it will be resolved, and we will see a new CEO coming in, or possibly even Grenville staying on. But we shall see.
Good. I think let's end off with some quite exciting news for gadget lovers. The Apple iPad is finally coming to South Africa. You going to get one, Candace?
I think I might. I've long been a hater of the touchscreen device, but I was watching a couple of people at Tech for Africa playing around with their iPad, and I am smitten. I think I might just get me one. Perhaps we can put it on the company budget.
Maybe not. The news, of course, is that and the story is up on Tech Central this week, is that Core Group is going to be the exclusive distributor in South Africa for the iPad, or at least that's the claim from the company's director, RJ van Spaandonk. There had been a lot of speculation about whether the device would be distributed by the mobile operators on subsidy plans, or whether it would be distributed here by Core Group, or a combination of the two. I know that some people had even suggested that perhaps the Core Group would distribute the Wi-Fi only version, and that the mobile operators, Vodacom and MTN, would distribute the 3G version on and subsidize it on certain tariff plans. But it appears, according to RJ, that the device will be sold exclusively through the Core Group. And he said to me that you're not... The Core Group hasn't entered into any discussions or reached any agreements at this stage with any of the cellular operators, and he indicated to me that it certainly sounds like it's only going to be available through selected retail stores, and he specifically said retail stores that already stock Apple products. So I'm guessing the iStores and the Look and Listens and stores like that have Apple products in them already will get them initially. So unfortunately, you're probably not going to be able to get one subsidized on some sort of data plan from Vodacom or MTN at launch, although that may come later, depending on what sort of agreement the mobile operators can reach with Core Group. But the good news, it's here at last. So people who haven't been able to get one from the US or sourced elsewhere in the world will finally be able to get their hands on one of these devices. Candace, I don't think I'm going to buy one. I didn't buy the original iPhone, and I did get the iPhone 3G, the successor. I think I'll wait for Steve Jobs to announce the successor to the iPad. I suspect it's going to be a big improvement on the first one.
Well, I'm sure it will be. That's Apple's take. That's what they do. That's how they do it. So it probably is a good idea to wait for the second.
In the meantime, though, I have bought one of the new Amazon Kindles. Amazon, a couple of weeks ago, cut the price of the Kindles and introduced a new charcoal grey-coloured one. I never liked the white one. It looked like a kitchen appliance, like a washing machine or a fridge. But they've introduced a new sort of dark grey, charcoal-y coloured device, and a Wi-Fi-only version for $139, which actually makes it a no-brainer to purchase.
Absolutely.
So I'm just hoping it arrives here before I go off on holiday in 2 weeks.
I would have bought one, but I'm saving up for my new camera.
New camera and the iPad as well.
There's that.
Good. Well, I think let's wrap it up there, Candace. End of another week. As always, if you have feedback on the show, the email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page. It's going to be updated quite dramatically over the coming weeks and months. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at TechCentral. From Candace and myself, until next Friday, thanks for listening.